I guess I need to apologize here a little bit, because this week I'm whole beating this whole air pollution thing to death. But because of the new laws that are coming into fruition, finally, after three or four presidents and nobody really doing anything, it at least looks like we're going to try to do something to make this planet a little bit better for our future generations. According to the American Lung Association's State of the Art for the year 2022, the report itself, the state of our air is, well, it's not very damn good. Between the years 2018 and 2020, the United States had the highest number of very unhealthy and hazardous air quality days that it has ever had in the 20 years that the report has been published. It's also found that more than 40% of Americans live in places with failing grades, going down, not up, folks, for unhealthy levels of a particulate pollution or ozone, and that people of color were 61% more likely than, I hate to say this, white folks, white people, to live in a county with a failing grade for at least one pollutant, and 3.5 times as likely to live in a county with failing grades for all three, what we call most dangerous pollutants. In spite of the fact that a lot of people think we've cleaned the place up, pollution levels in many areas of the United States exceed national air quality standards for at least, again, one of those several common pollutants, including fine particulate matter, ground-level ozone, sulfur dioxides, nitrogen dioxides, and a quiet monster, lead. These pollutants carry with them a number of health risks beyond just lung disease. Some of the health issues associated with exposure to air pollution, especially long-term, that's every day, folks, you have to live in it, include strokes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. Not to mention dementia, Alzheimer's, depression, what we call impaired cognition, and mental health issues, especially, interestingly enough, in children. Increased risk of miscarriages and premature birth, reduction in bone mineral density, kidney disease, and, just for fun, a reduction in your total life expectancy. Bring something that I think you all can kind of understand. Fine particulate matter, commonly found, for instance, in smoke, think about this, in our ever-increasing problem with wildfires and emissions from power plants and vehicles, is of particular concern for health because it can penetrate body tissues and organs. It can literally go through you, folks, posing an even greater risk of systemic health impacts. These fine particulate matter materials have been implicated in cardiovascular disease, lung disease, and a number of neurodegenerational problems, as well as dementia. Think about it. Avoiding exposure to air pollution, especially what we call ambient outdoor pollution, may feel out of control, but we can control how well equipped our bodies are to handle the inevitable exposure. Here's just a few things I have found in reading and the science I study that have helped, at least to some degree, to protect. EPA and DHA, you'll find out. Much of the damage wrought by air pollution is through its ability to increase oxidative damage and inflammation in our bodies. We now know inflammation is a bad deal, folks. The omega-3 fats EPA and DHA are well known to have anti-inflammatory effects, and new research is still showing even better now that they have the potential to mitigate the harmful effects of a number of air pollutants, including fine particulate matter, PM. A 2020 study published in the journal Neurology, peer-studied magazine, so you know, examined the effects of omega-3 consumption on brain size in over 1,300 dementia-free women between the ages of 65 and 80. I'm in that range, folks. Researchers found that exposure to particulate matter from air pollution reduced brain size, but these effects were mitigated in the women who had high levels in the blood, of course, and dietary intakes of EPA and DHA. The women with higher blood levels of dietary intakes of the omega-3s, that's what those are, folks, had, quote unquote, significantly greater volumes of white matter in what's called the hypothalamus or hippocampus of our brain. The hippocampus is the part of the brain involved in the formation of memories, learning, and emotions. Think about that. In another separate study, the effects of dietary omega-3 and omega-6 fat intake on one thing they looked at for sure was asthma severity in 140 asthmatic children exposed to indoor air pollution. Happened to be in Baltimore, sorry, but it's there. The majority of the subjects in this particular study were African-American between the ages of 5 and 12. The researchers analyzed the amount of omega-3 and omega-6 fats the children obtained from their normal diets and then measured the amount of air pollution and particulate matter each child was exposed to in their normal day-to-day living habits in their homes. The researchers found that the high omega-6 intake, commonly found in soy, corn, cottonseed oils, and prevalent in a lot of fast food, folks, and any, basically, this is my kicking, any other highly processed foods. Don't eat processed foods. Skip the bologna, okay. Amplified the effects of indoor particulate matter, particularly systemic inflammation, and was associated with an increased case of asthma severity and reduced lung function. However, in the children with the highest omega-3 fat intakes, the negative effects of particulate matter's exposures were diminished and asthma symptoms were reduced by a good percentage. And just one more thing I should bring up. Previous research has also found that the omega-3s themselves reduce oxidative damage caused by, again, fine particulate matter, PMs, in part by significantly increasing the activity of the body's internal antioxidant system that we already have. The most effective way to increase your levels of the omega-3s is to take, I recommend 2 or 3 grams of a really good, high quality fish oil every day for you, your husband, and your children. In another study, the B vitamins, folate, B6 and B12 were shown to reduce the effects of fine particulate matter on the entire cardiovascular system, particularly in those with a thing called a particular gene called the MTHFR, which your doctor can tell you about, who also have an even higher risk of developing cardiovascular disease. Research has found that a higher intake of the B vitamins prevents the negative effect exposure of fine particulate matter, especially as far as it had to do with heart rate variability. Exposure to these fine particulate matters decrease what we call HRV, which is associated, coincidentally, with an increased cardiovascular disease and death. Again, I'm not big on supplements all the time, but it looks like a few things among them are the B vitamins that we should probably supplement in our diet. One of the ways we know that air pollution increases our problem is what they do. It is increases oxidative damage in our very bodies. It is of utmost importance that you arm your body with plenty of an antioxidant. For instance, vitamin C's and vitamin E are two of the best and especially important when it comes to protecting the lungs. I will mention here in a study I saw, don't overdo the E, especially the 400, I think, IU is ideal, but some people are taking thousands of units. Folks, over is not necessarily always better. Both of these antioxidants are found in lungs and have long been studied for their protective effects against all kinds of air pollution. When exposed to different types of air pollution, including ozone, which we all are, fine particulate matters, or particulate matters, PMs, and nitrogen dioxide, the lung's natural antioxidant defenses are depleted, making it critical that you replenish them. Not selling you vitamins, folks, but vitamin C and E are shown to enhance the activity of the lungs, internal antioxidant defenses, restoring antioxidant levels in many cases back to the normal and effectively decreasing what would have become oxidative damage. Furthermore, a number of studies show that supplementation with C and E on a regular basis shows to protect normal lung function more so in children, but also in adults, and with or without asthma. When exposed to both acute and long-term air pollution, and this is just, I aim for about 500 milligrams of vitamin C, and about 400 would be my max on vitamin E. Some people have these really high vitamin E intakes that have begun to show that's really not a good idea. So keep your levels normal. About to run out of time again, but I will tell you there's also certain phytonutrients that are proven to have very powerful protective effects on your body. Of all the weird things I came across in reading it, broccoli, remember this, broccoli sprouts have to seem to be one of the most concentrated sources of sulforaphane, a potent inducer to aid in your body's detoxification. Research has found that regular consumption actually helps the body detoxify airborne, especially pollutants. While broccoli sprouts are one of the most concentrated sources, other cruciferous veggies, like, again, Brussels sprouts, kale, and cabbage, contain great amounts of the same sulforaphane, a really, really good antioxidant. Be sure to include a lot of cruciferous vegetables in your diet and consider supplementing occasionally either with broccoli sprouts or a supplement. I happen to like to eat my supplements if I can, which will ensure that you get optimal amounts of sulforaphane, which really seems to be very protective to most everybody's body. And in closing here, a couple other things you want to look up. It goes up and down the chart, but in general, it's shown that decent amounts of resveratrol, always found in grapes and grape skins, and of course, in wine, but it shows that you just can't drink enough wine. You really need a supplement, folks. But they do reduce inflammation caused by pollutants. Interestingly, especially, this is strange, including diesel exhaust particles, from the thing that in diesel that seems to be bad is nickel. And just one more mention because I'm running out of time. It's called quercetin. I won't even tell you all the benefits. It's very good for you. Ironically, it's found in good amounts in onions and in apples. And is actually shown to actually attenuate the oxidative inflammatory damage in especially very, very young children or even children still in the womb. So anyway, beat that to death again. I just got all my pollution week, but listen to this. It can't hurt and it might help. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.